Welcome back in hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Does a great job covering all things Middle Tennessee sports. Gentry, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Gentry, we were talking about the Dylan Radin situation earlier in the show. With him moving inside yesterday, I know Vrabel downplayed it a little bit, but what do you think of this right tackle battle? Do you think Nicholas Petit-Frere has won it at this point? And if you're a Titans fan, how are you feeling about that spot heading into this season?
Yeah, I'm not sure I would say that Petit-Frere has won it as much as maybe the other guy has lost it. That's how it appeared yesterday and just watching. I mean, and granted, it's only one practice. Maybe they're looking at things. I mean, you always wonder sometimes how much to make of these practice rotations, especially on just kind of a random day. But Radins was not playing right tackle anymore. And the fact that this had been pretty regular rotation, one series in, one series out, and that wasn't the case yesterday. So I think that got some people's attention, and I think it's obviously not a very good sign for where Radin stands in the competition at right tackle. Speaks pretty well for Petit-Frere, and I think at some point we're going to have to start figuring out if he is the guy there. Did he win this by default, or is he doing something really well to get there? And that's what I think we haven't really figured out.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that they're going to go a practice and all of a sudden give Dylan Radins no reps, but he still has a shot at that job. I mean, I guess Vrabel could always surprise us, but I think that's a great question you asked, Gentry. Also, I think this moves us closer to the scenario you threw out at us a couple weeks ago, which is the starting right tackle not currently on the roster. You still believe that? And do you have anyone in mind? Because obviously there's going to be a flood of players in a week from today that will be available.
I mean, does Quisenberry stick in Buffalo? Because
great question.
Because if not, then that one would make some sense, obviously. But I think, who knows? They've probably got their eyes on a few situations, I would imagine, by this point. And, it isn't just from the standpoint of the two guys we've been talking about with this job, but there's no one else, it appears, who's healthy on the line right now who is challenged for it from the start. They went immediately to the third-round rookie from a competition standpoint there. And in the past, I think the Titans have kind of had that guy that you could plug in. I think Quisenberry was one of those guys. And Ty Sambrillo, I mean, you go back and they've always had Dennis Kelly, the sixth man, so to speak, the guy that you could use in that role. And I don't think they really have that right now either. Now, maybe Dylan Radins can become that by putting him in different roles. But, it's always – yeah, it always kind of struck me a little strange that they went immediately to the rookie for this job. And, again, hey, maybe Nicholas Petit-Frere is having a wonderful training camp. From our purposes, it's always tougher to judge the offensive line than probably any other position because – we can watch these skill guys and see who's producing in the O-line. Usually you kind of need to take their word for it, so to speak, because we probably it's so much harder to judge. So I guess we'll see maybe in this final preseason game what Petit-Frere is able to do if he is the full-time guy there.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So Gentry, what's your view at this point of the backup quarterback situation for the Titans? And I guess as Logan Woodside continues to be underwhelming out there, how likely do you think it is that they could look somewhere else for that position?
I think that's becoming a fair question, and it's not one that I would have thought at the start of training camp. At this point, it has made sense that you want to give Malik Willis as many reps as possible in this preseason while you still can, because I think once the regular season starts, I just don't think he's going to be the backup. I don't think he runs the offense well enough. He needs a year. And as many he has shown the upside clearly this preseason and done a lot of good things, but I think he's also shown that he needs more time. And you know, for the future, he is certainly an interesting option. But for this season, for 2022, you're going to have to make a decision on who you trust as a backup. And I think in Logan Woodside's case, I think you separate that from what's going on with Malik Willis and say he hasn't had a good enough camp, at least in the limited time he's getting. Now, I think you factor that in there too, but I don't remember Woodside struggling the last couple of preseasons as much as he has in this one. Now, maybe they're so comfortable and he's built up enough tenure with this team that it doesn't really matter. They know what they have in him. They've known all along this is what they're going to do. But I feel like at some point you got to produce when you're called on to play, because he hasn't been called on to play very much. So these preseason snaps matter, just like they did last year.
No, I agree. It's a really interesting situation. And this is another one where, I mean, I'm open to the idea of someone else out there if it were the right fit, and Woodside just being dispatched. But we've also seen that, you know, predicted that in the last couple of years, and he always figures a way to stay on the team. But it hasn't been very good from him. Gentry, I thought in your comment the other day was interesting. You brought up, you know, receiver is still a concern. Like, I would look at receiver and say, I guess per my expectations, it has exceeded them, and I think that they've got a chance to be solid. But where are you on the whole group, and in particular, what do you think Treylon Burks' role is going to be when the season begins?
It's hard to view him as an every down top two kind of guy at this point. I think he'll have a role, and I think he'll probably make an impact. I think he occasionally you'll see him do some things that not a lot of receivers can do, and just like we've seen in practice, you know, every once in a while, you know, he'll disappear for a while. You've seen it in preseason games, you've seen it in practices, but every once in a while, he'll make a play that you sit there and go, okay, the other guys can't do that, and I think you'll see that. There's always going to be, you know, room for that in the NFL, but in terms of consistency play by play, at this point, I don't know if he's going to be a guy that you can depend on to be out there play after play after play like you would a Robert Woods or maybe Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And I think you just in terms of that whole group saying it's a concern, I just don't see anyone in that group outside of Robert Woods that scares me if I'm a defensive coordinator. I think Burks could, and if he becomes an every down producer kind of guy, then I think he would. But they've just got a group. They're just not very proven in terms of guys who have been highly effective at the NFL level. And it's unfair to compare Burks or the whole group to what it would have been like if A.J. Brown was here, but that's kind of how it looks. And, you know, there's just not another one of those guys in the group, I don't think. You know, Robert Woods, I think, is kind of the exception here. But you're also talking about a guy who's getting over an ACL from last year. You know, you kind of go through the group, and, you know, Kyle Phillips has had a great training camp. I think he's going to make a real impact for this team, but he's still a rookie. You know, it's like in every instance there's that butt that kind of shows up and, you know, makes you not real sure what you're going to get there.
Gentry, switching gears to the other side of the ball, there are obviously high expectations for this defense heading into training camp. Based on what you've seen from that group this far, are you more confident that they're going to have a good year, less confident? How have you viewed the defensive part of things through camp thus far?
I think the defense has been maybe even a little better than I expected overall, and I think – you kind of knew coming in this is a pretty stacked group. But, you know, I guess the big question mark coming in defensively was probably a cornerback. I think they've had a pretty good camp there. They're young, but they're very talented. And I think the fact that you got a player like Caleb Farley, who has all kinds of ability and really hasn't had a bad camp, it's been a little up and down, the fact that he may not even start, and you were able to draft a guy in the second round who's coming in and really performing right away, like you would have hoped in Roger McCreary, I think Secondary looks pretty good to me. I like the corners. I like there's a lot of young talent, and there's a lot of young talent that they've been able to build up through the draft that isn't killing them salary cap-wise. And I think that, you know, that's a position you love to be able to do that. And I think they've certainly invested a lot of draft capital in it, and I think it's going to start paying off. You look elsewhere, the line looks awfully good. I think they're good in the middle. The defense, I think defense looks pretty solid to me.
Yeah, I love asking this question because we need more punter awareness. Who's punting for the Titans this year, Gentry?
I mean, I think it's Brett Kurt. I'll be honest, I haven't really considered this a real competition. You never know with these special teams competitions in camp because they're always going to bring in somebody, and there's kind of a line of, okay, now am I starting to pay attention to this? And I guess it's recently when the other guy's holding for field goals and extra points that you're like, well, I don't know, maybe. But I mean, Brett Kern's one of the best punters in the league, and he really hadn't had a bad camp. So I don't know what I'm missing here. Maybe it's the fact that maybe you can save a couple $1 million. But I think Brett Kern is worth that. At least to me. I think you got a punter that good, you should probably keep him.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Gentry, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Got more thoughts on the Dylan Raiden situation coming up next. Anywhere you want to take it on the Titans all hour long, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I thought, you know, continuing to work on our conditioning, which is critical.
I asked Nicholas Petit-Ferrer about just the versatility, playing left side and right side, and he said you can't have any complications in the NFL. How impressed have you been with him? For how he's able to, you know, work at both of those.
Well, I think that's something that we're always looking for, is that you have some versatility and flexibility to play more than one position. Nick's shown that, and then there's been some other guys that, you know, young guys that have been able to do that. Rodgers, you know, doing that as well. Chig's, you know, learning multiple positions of the tight end, you know, responsibilities.
Dylan kind of in a situation where you're able to use his versatility, get him some work at guard and all?
Yep, just trying to shuffle guys around. Just trying to shuffle guys around and see, you know, we've had some guys out and just trying to figure out where guys are going to be best served for themselves and for us.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at Titans practice discussing Dylan Raiden's and the offensive line, shuffling some guys around, including Raiden's going to the guard position yesterday, not at right tackle. And Joe, kind of reading between the lines there, that tells me that looks like he is not in the right tackle battle anymore. Now, he did not play well against Tampa Bay. I don't think there's any question about that. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. You brought up the PFF grades, which we really put a lot of stock into here on this program. The PFF grades were pretty strong for Nicholas Petit-Ferrer the other day in the pass blocking part of this discussion. But my question for you is, has Nicholas Petit-Ferrer won this job? Are you more open to the Titans going out and getting more help at right tackle via outside the organization? How do you view what transpired yesterday with Dylan Raiden's moving over to the guard position?
Yeah, well, I think that Nicholas Petit-Ferrer is the clear favorite to start on opening day. I mean, there's no one on the roster who I think could challenge that. They have some other tackles, you know, McKenzie, some young guys. I guess Jamarco Jones could bounce outside, but at this point, there's very little to suggest he could get in there. Petit-Ferrer, I think, has potential to be a good player, good tackle in the NFL. It's a matter of timeline for him and just how ready he'll be and how painful the growing pains might be, you know, early in a season. Yeah, week two, you get to go see Von Miller and company up in Buffalo on Monday Night Football. But I'm definitely more open to the idea of finding someone. It's just realistically, who are you signing? Who's going to come in and it's going to be like, oh, yes, there's your starter. I think Gentry brought up a good possibility if the Bills don't like Quessenberry. The Titans obviously moved on from Quessenberry and said, we'll go ahead and throw all our eggs in, you know, we'll try to develop Dylan Radins, and the coach, Vrabel, put it on the coaches. We're going to get him ready. And they drafted Petit Frere in the third round. So that was to them the better option than sticking with Quessenberry. And, you know, re-signing Quessenberry certainly could have done that. I think he would have stayed here. So if they come all the way back around and go get Quessenberry right now, whew, what does that say? And I think that, you know, right now John Robinson's staff, no doubt, has scoured a ton of film on a lot of different offensive tackles, and the market will be flooded with players at every position 1 week from today when the rosters go from 80 to 53. Let's see. I'm not even going to try to do this math, but 27 players times 30 times 32. Well, no, but the math is 27 times 32. So
I'm just glad you got 27 part right.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to do the math. 864, by the way.
Dang it, you beat me. 864. Thank you, Robbie. That's a lot of players. A lot of players who are going to be on waivers, and there's going to be some offensive tackles in there. But can you feel good about someone in that mix coming in and boom? Yeah, you feel. Yeah, you got a starter. You got a starting right tackle. If you got someone you feel good about starting at right tackle, he's on a roster a week from today. He's on a 53. So you could do the trade thing. We've talked about that earlier in the show. I mean, my assumption here is that I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans pick somebody up to bolster the depth. But my assumption here is that Nicholas Petit Frere is going to get the job. They're going to try to run with it, and they're going to hope that at least it can be like Nate Davis. Nate Davis wasn't ready to start early in 19. Jamil Douglas started. It was a disaster. Eventually, Nate Davis got the job. It was not good early, even a few weeks in when he got the job. By the end of the season, it was pretty good. Nate Davis and Jack Conklin over on that right side. They hope that the timeline's a little accelerated on this one, if it's the next rookie here getting a chance to start. And, of course, now it's Nate Davis as the partner next to the rookie who needs to be a big part of helping him come along.
Well, on the Quessenberry front, I don't pretend to know the ins and outs of what's going on in Buffalo Bills training camp right now. That's not quite my focus here in Nashville, Tennessee. I do know this. He was the starting right tackle the other day in their preseason game with their offense. By the way, Roger Saffold was out there as a starting left guard, and Josh Allen was playing, and Stephon Diggs was playing, and Gabe Davis was playing, and Devin Singletary was playing. So it's not like they didn't start a lot of the guys that they're going to have out there on the field this year, and David Quessenberry was right tackle. So even if he's not the starting right tackle to begin the season, he's probably going to be on the roster for Buffalo, would be my guess. So to your point, like, if you're a quality tackle, those don't just grow on trees at the NFL. You're probably on your roster if that's the case. And if you're not on the roster, I mean, I guess there's always the chance that somebody's getting paid too much money and you're moving on that way. But by and large, if you're not on the roster, it's because whatever team you were with doesn't feel like you're good enough to help them at a position where it's very important to get help in the NFL.
Right, and so the question could become Nicholas Petit Frere in 2022 for the Titans. How does he compare to David Quessenberry 2021 for the Titans at right tackle?
Yeah.
I think down the road, and maybe this season, it could be an upgrade, clear upgrade. It's possible. I mean, I like everything about Petit Frere in terms of the tools, the intangibles. It's good. I think this could end up being a good pick. It's the timeline and how much it hurts you, especially in the early going, as he tries to learn the ropes. Someone brought up to me, you know, Bobby Hart. Maybe the Bobby Hart pass around continues. You know,
keep it going.
He's up in Buffalo. He's over here, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tennessee, all over the place. Hey, guy came in or he wasn't in Kansas City. He started against Kansas City, right? I can't keep track of Bobby Hart's career. And he did a fine job. So maybe that's what the Titans are looking at. Yeah, it's just, and look, maybe there is someone that's like, you know what, this guy's a little bit more seasoned, has been through it, feel a little bit better, you know, can pick things up quickly, feel a little bit better about this guy starting than Petit Frere right away, and then Petit Frere, you know, try to get him to earn his way in. Now, remember, Radins is there, and so The thing about this is, and it's probably more discouraging big picture than not, is that I don't think naked eye, and they've been splitting reps. They've been, you get a day against the Bucks, you get a day. You get a half, you get a half. And there's not a huge gap between Raiders and Petit Frere right now. So that's good in terms of if you need someone there, Raiders can step in.
That doesn't make me feel better.
But it's probably not good, big picture, in the NFL on a Sunday going against the pass rushers who exist in this league.
Do you think there's any chance that Dylan Raiden's competes at a guard spot to play significant snaps this year?
I would say that there's a chance. And look, I'll go back to the famous wiping quote from Dylan Raiden's a couple weeks ago. He's clearly, his entire football life, he's been on the left side of an offensive line, and that is natural to him, and the right side is not. And I'm not saying that's why he's where he is right now. I think at this point he just doesn't look like he's good enough. But maybe that does benefit him to be on the other side, and maybe he could compete with Aaron Brewer. I just feel like I'm really interested to see Aaron Brewer this year for this team. I think they love him, and I think Vrabel from day one, and Vrabel had some, he had some people he trusts in football who gave him strong recommendations on Aaron Brewer. And my understanding is Vrabel basically from day one just loved him. It doesn't mean you're going to be a good starting player. I mean, it's taken him this long to become a starter, but I think Aaron Brewer's got that job. I'll be surprised if Dylan Raiden's comes in and unseats him, but you know what? It's not bad to have competition. Jamarco Jones has not been able to provide any, as far as I can tell.
Well, and then that kind of leads to the whole offensive line, the question mark of, okay, this is not just a right tackle problem now with Dylan Raiden's. Number one, is it more that Nicholas Petit Frere is coming on, or is it just lack of options from Dylan Raiden's that he's a starter right now? What is the quality of that position? Like, what is the quality of Nicholas Petit Frere if he's going to be the starter? What is the quality of Aaron Brewer starting at guard? Like, we've seen Brewer start before at guard. We've seen him play significant snaps at guard. But doing it every game, game in, game out for a season, what does that mean? Like, I feel good about Ben Jones when he's in there. I feel good about Taylor Lewan. I feel good about Nate Davis. I think Nate Davis, if he can stay healthy, is going to have a bounce back year from a year ago. But those other two spots, like, if you're a Titans fan right now, to me, as you're looking at this team, the offensive line, I think, is clearly the number one concern. Clearly.
Not even close. I don't think there's a close second. And it's a good question on is it Raiden's falling, Petit Frere rising. It's hard to not think it's more about Raiden's falling after what we saw Saturday, right? Because it just looks like we all saw him struggle mightily, and then the coaches went through the film, and then it was like, you know what? Yeah, he's not the right tackle.
Well, I can tell you this. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I feel probably stronger about it now. To me, there was probably no way, if you're a Titans fan, you weren't going to be nervous about right tackle heading into that first game. I know it's the Giants, and I know that they just got some bad news on the injury front yesterday with Thibodeau. But I'm still, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm pretty nervous about right tackle heading into the season. You got the Giants game, which I said earlier in the show, we keep just dismissing them. We're probably buying a 25-point victory for the New York football Giants coming in here. But right after that, that Bills front, that Raiders front could present some challenges. So we'll see how the Titans handle that. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get into a little Titans and Colts comparisons coming up next. Some of those are starting to come out, including one at The Athletic that I think you're going to find very, very interesting. We'll get into that coming up next. Attention men, you've been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Well, we've been treating ED the same three ways typically for about 30 years. Surgery, needles and injections, a pill that you have to take over and over again with unpredictable side effects. Well, I'll tell you what, we upgrade our life with technology every single day. Let's upgrade your ED treatment with acoustic wave therapy. It's a machine. It sits right on the skin. Gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, guys, causing them to expand to allow for more blood flow, oftentimes repairing or regrowing the blood vessels themselves. We treat ED at the root cause without the need to hurt yourself.
Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this acoustic wave therapy technology?
Well, they've all spoken. Cambridge has studied this. The Cleveland Clinic. There's over 60 independent placebo-controlled clinical studies right on our website. Check it out for that. If you're a data nerd like me, I like kind of know what I'm getting into. But they've all spoken, calling it safe and effective. Some even call it the new standard of care.
And Miles, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
That's right, an extra special day. Give us a call. Your exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound, all free of charge. Plus a gift we give you just for coming in. That's free as well. But because today is Tuesday, we'll include tune-up treatment. If we treat you in a long time down the road, your results start to fade, come back in, we will retreat you free of charge.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Mike DiRocco from ESPN coming up at 9 o'clock. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take a look at an AFC South rival for the Titans and how camp's going for the Jags in year two for Trevor Lawrence down there in Jacksonville. Coming up at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that. But in the meantime, Joe Rexroad, this is one of my favorite times of year in the football landscape of prediction season coming out. But we've even taken a bigger step from predictions to people running these simulators. So you got, websites like Football Outsiders and all these analytical websites that are now at our disposal that have like these simulation formulas that they use, and you guys have done that at The Athletic as well, simulating the AFC South, and Austin Mock put this together at The Athletic, has simulated the NFL season 100,000 times to take a deep dive into the AFC South and other divisions as well. And the results are pretty interesting, Joe Rexroad. The Colts, according to this model, the pretty overwhelming favorite in the AFC South. He's got the Colts with a 64% chance to win the division. I think the Titans are just at a little bit over a 30% chance to win the division in this simulation that has been run on The Athletic. So, from a prediction standpoint, the Colts have been a pretty popular selection, but this model that they put together at The Athletic is also pretty interesting. They've simulated the season 100,000 times, and the Colts are the pretty clear favorite, even more so than some sports books, as they've laid out in this piece at The Athletic as well.
Yes, Austin Mock, a new coworker who's recently signed into The Athletic, and he's doing these for every division, doing the whole season. Like you said, 100,000 simulations. So you got, the Colts 64%. Well, that's to win the South, 74 to make the playoffs.
Yep.
You get to Titans, you got 30.1% to win the South and 44.9% to make the playoffs. Now, of course, this is a computer simulation. There's still obviously subjectivity in the data that goes into, evaluating these teams, right? And that's where, and of course, Austin goes through every team. And by the way, let's see. If you got 64% for one team and you got 30 point, I'm not a mathematician, I think that leaves about 5% that either the other two teams might win the South, and the Jags get most of that 5%. So
what about Joe?
Oh no, really?
He's back in there.
Yeah, let's add that to the mix. Awesome. Let's have a little Robo Joe today then. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm still not here.
You're good.
God. Anyway, I was making awesome points and now they're lost, but, there's subjectivity. I don't know where I trailed off. There's subjectivity in the data that, that starts the simulation. You still, right? Like you still, and I feel like based on Austin's, breakdown, and he, it's not like he's going in depth on every aspect of these teams. I think that this tells me that, again, I think there's a common thread with the Titans, and it's that people don't seem to realize how good their defense is. And I'm not saying they should be the favorite or that this is all that surprising, but I just feel like between this and then other outlets that have actually specifically talked about defense and mock drafts that had the Titans take an inside linebacker in the first round and on and on and on, that seems to be the thing about the Titans that's a little bit missed by people.
I think it's more than a little bit missed by people. I think there is a almost complete lack of awareness around the league of what this defense, I think, is. Now, I'm not saying there's not question marks. We've talked about the secondary, although, as Gentry pointed out earlier, I'm actually feeling pretty good about the secondary right now for the Titans heading into the year. You know, the pass rush, I think, is going to be very good. The linebacker play, which I think that's really where a lot of people have no clue what they're talking about nationally when it comes to the Titans. Like, I think they're going to have pretty strong linebacker play if they can stay healthy. Like, I think people are totally missing the boat on this Titans defense. I really do. I'm not saying, you know, it's going to be the number one defense in the league or anything like that, but I think it has a very good chance to be a top five defense this year. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's in that discussion. You know, everything has to break right, of course, but you got depth at pass rush. You got Bud Dupree in a second year. David Long is easily the most overlooked part of it. Zach Cunningham it's really interesting. As much as they're paying Zach Cunningham, and I don't expect him to be out there much in coverage, what kind of value he brings. But I just thought even last year, late in the year, you could see the difference. Zach Cunningham, when teams are trying to run the football on the Titans, and you combine that with, you know, we talked the other day about Tyr Tart and how he looked, you know, some of the reps he had in the last preseason game and how he's looked so explosive again. He's healthy and explosive. They got depth up front. We'll see with the corners. You know, that could look a lot worse. It's just like it's hard to evaluate these offensive tackles other than against each other and in these brief moments against other players. And a lot of times you only notice offensive tackles when they get beat. And it's the same kind of thing with corners. I mean, when these guys are going up against the best of the best at receiver in the NFL, hey, it can still be problematic. And it's still the biggest question of the defense. But I think there's definitely material there for them to be solid at corner and maybe better than solid. If they're better than solid, that's where I think you get into top five territory.
One of the most interesting things that I found about this piece at The Athletic, Joe, was that, you know, Mock talks about in this piece that Matt Ryan is basically the difference. As a matter of fact, he says in the piece that according to his projections, if they would have run it back with Carson Wentz, they would not have been the division favorite. But now that Matt Ryan is in there, it's graded out much higher than Carson Wentz, and that has been the difference. Like, they're a pretty significant favorite according to this model. I mean, it's double the percentage of the Titans. Like, is Matt Ryan that big of an upgrade over Carson Wentz? I think he's an upgrade. Is he that big of an upgrade?
It's honestly, I think he's as interesting a player in the league this year as there is, just in terms of there's such a wide variety of opinions on him. And I go back and forth because, look, I've said it all preseason. I think he right now, although I'm wobbling, but I feel like he is the difference for them to win the division, but not, and that's not because I think he's just going to be a star this year or MVP level Matt Ryan. I just think he's an upgrade. But yeah, some people think he's coming out. If he's what some people think he is, there's no doubt the Colts are winning the division in my mind. I don't know. I go back to that game. I guess it was 3 years ago, right? Yeah, 3 years ago in Atlanta. And not a very good Atlanta team, and the Titans were really struggling. They needed a win. They went and got one. Mariota, you know, making some big plays in that game. But I just remember, you know, Julio Jones is out there, Austin Hooper's out there having a big day. But I just thought Matt Ryan was very eh, and I think he's been that lately. Bad teams, so maybe he's been better than I realize with these bad teams. He's got a good team now. He has a running back now. All that stuff is great for him. I just I'm fascinated to see what he actually is this year. I think it's probably going to be, the truth's going to be somewhere in between the two extremes, but the extreme of people who think he's going to be great is a little bit surprising.
It's this model has the Colts. They also do a Super Bowl projection in this thing, and it gives the Colts a 5.1% chance to win the Super Bowl, which is apparently seventh in the NFL. For the Titans, it's a 2.4% chance, which is 19th in the NFL. So again, that's a double the chance for the Colts to win the Super Bowl than the Titans. And he's got the Titans as the 19th best, bottom half of the league in the NFL to win a Super Bowl. It's interesting to me how big of a gap some people think there is between the Colts and the Titans. And then I was looking on FanDuel last night, and the over-under for wins is exactly the same, to 9.5 for both of them.
Yeah, and I think FanDuel has it right. You just hit on the number that's most surprising. Seventh, most likely. I'm surprised by that with the Colts. Seventh in the whole league, and the Titans are 19th, the reigning one seed in the AFC. We blew it, team that blew it, but 19th best. So, in other words, not a playoff team. Pretty amazing.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the Colts being, in some people's minds, overwhelming favorites in the AFC South? We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Throwing it out there, should the Colts be the favorites in the AFC South? Taking your thoughts on a text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex on the text line says, the Titans love being the underdogs. Vrabel will use it all preseason, with the disrespect being to their advantage. This coming from Alex from Montreal on the text line. I will say, you know, Vrabel, I don't know how conscious or subconscious it is with this team, but when they have been the underdog before, he's done a pretty good job at getting them to rise to the occasion. Like, I don't know that there will ever be a better example of that than that Tuesday night game against Buffalo, where, you know, half their team couldn't practice until the day before, and they came out and just absolutely whooped them. Like, you think back to the, you know, I think it was his first home game as coach, the Texans game, where they had Blaine Gabbert start at quarterback and an offensive line made of paper mache out there, and they won that game. You know, John McClain, you said, called that maybe the greatest coach game that he'd ever seen. There's no question, like, when people on the outside are down on the Titans, Vrabel seems to use that to his advantage.
Yeah, not maybe. John McClain said that's the best coach game I've ever seen in my life. Dude who's covered the NFL since the 70s. Tyler Maritz at tackle. Conklin and Luan out. And like you said, Mariota out. And there are a couple other key guys, too. It was like you had to win with a Kevin Byard lefty fake punt pass to Dane Cruikshank for a touchdown.
Great pass, by the way.
Yeah, it was a rope. So yeah, Vrabel's eating this stuff up like cereal, no doubt. I know Titans fans probably get annoyed by it and get all angry, and Colts fans probably like it, but Vrabel's like, give it to me right now, Byard. You know, Lawan, all these guys, they love it.
Drew on the text line says, I have absolutely no idea what these analysts are smoking, but barring major injuries, which didn't stop us last year, we'll win the AFC South. Am I missing something, or does Matt Ryan look like he's more apt to be a professional golfer now than a division-leading quarterback? Fraves is the difference, and unless he completely falls off as a coach, we'll be a top 10 team again in the NFL. It's coming from Drew on the text line.
So that might be a little down on Matt Ryan. He is a legitimate NFL starting quarterback. But
I don't know how good he is at golf.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, he does. He could be on the tour. You know, and he's wearing a nice polo in an interview. You know, some trousers. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
He's an upgrade. He's an upgrade over Carson Wentz. I think obviously last year's team had wacky stuff going on behind the scenes, which didn't really come out until they completely bottomed out against Jacksonville at the end and choked away a playoff spot. They had some really, Carson Wentz had some really good weeks. Just right before that, he went down to Arizona and played great, and they got a huge win that put him in position to where they could choke away a playoff spot, you know? So it wasn't like it was all bad with Wentz, but I do think you're going to have an upgrade. I just don't know that it's like some dramatic upgrade. And I don't buy that this is like, you know, Matt Ryan's going to be the long-term, really successful quarterback. I still think it's a band-aid, and that's what they've been doing. Is Chris Ballard has been going band-aid after band-aid after band-aid. Not his fault that Andrew Luck left him in a lurch, but his approach to that position. And I know they've tried to draft guys too and bring in young guys, but it just looks like band-aid after band-aid after band-aid. And I think Matt Ryan may be the best of the bunch. Like, is he going to have better numbers, for example, than Phillip Rivers had a couple years ago? Now he can throw it downfield a little bit better, and that's important, but I don't know.
Well, I keep coming back to the same thing with them. And, you know, people could say this. You could say this about the Titans to a certain degree. Who's catching the ball? Like, they've got Michael Pittman Jr., and I think he's a really good receiver. Other than that, what do they have? Like, Alec Pierce, we think, could be good. Paris Campbell, you know, everybody in Indianapolis has been talking about Paris Campbell for 3 years. We've yet to see it on the field. Like, you just had an injury at tight end the other day. Like, I don't know if they've got enough weapons in the passing game to really be all that effective for Matt Ryan. Like, I think Matt Ryan, I think he's a good player. I think he's a good quarterback. I think there was a time in this league when he was a great quarterback. And I think that time has passed for Matt Ryan. You know, everybody's talking about the offensive line. It is a better offensive line than he had in Atlanta. There's no question about that. It's not some impenetrable wall. Like, did you watch the Jacksonville game last year? Everybody talks about Carson Wentz. The reason they lost and were out of the playoffs last year, because they gave up about 6 sacks in that last game. They got absolutely destroyed by Jacksonville's front. So I think people need to pump the brakes on the Colts a little bit. And I could end up being dead wrong about this, but I've been consistent about this all offseason long, and it's not going to change for me. The Titans are my AFC South favorite. And until I see otherwise, they're the team I'm picking to win the division. They just are.
I just can't – I can't understand how anyone would look at this race and think there's a gap. I don't think there's a big gap between these teams. I don't think anybody's wrong who picks the Titans or the Colts to win. That you can say, well, Titans have won it 2 years in a row, so I'm going with them. That's fine. Before that, they hadn't won it in forever. Colts haven't won it in forever. Okay, but what are they as a team? I think they're very close. I don't think you're wrong. Anybody's wrong in picking either team. The people I think are wrong are the people who think, oh, it's clear that it's filling the team, Titans or Colts. I don't think it's clear. I think everything you just said, I agree with on evaluating them. Will from Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says there's no comparison between Wentz and Ryan. He goes to the numbers. You know, Ryan, close to 4,300 yards a game and a 92 rating with bad Falcons teams. Wentz on better teams, about 1,200 yards less, 83 rating. Again, I think Ryan's better. I think Ryan's better than Wentz. But you're right. Will he get the protection? Does he have the weapons? Certainly, he has a running back and a running game, and that's got to be great for him to have that. And when his best days with the Falcons, he had a two-pronged but good, you know, running game, that Shanahan offense. And but that was also, you know, a while ago for Matt Ryan. Not every quarterback is going to be great into their 40 just because Brady did it.
Well, and look, he could be really good too. I think a lot of this boils down to Tannehill. I think nationally, people are just totally out on Ryan Tannehill, and I understand it. Like the playoffs, it was brutal, and I think people look at that combined with A.J. Brown leaving, I think is the biggest reason for why you're seeing a lot of this. It's a lot of people say, okay, well, A.J. Brown's gone, and Ryan Tannehill's still the quarterback. The Titans, they have no chance. And I just think it's way more complicated than just that. But I think that's the reason nationally why it's viewed the way it is.
I think you're right. And there's also several national analysts who are talking about Malik Willis taking Tannehill's job this year. So, again, trust your local reporting, sports fans.
Yeah. Henry on the text line says, could it be that a lot of people nationally may be a little down on the Titans because they have a lot of question marks, especially on the offensive line, and you have a quarterback that doesn't seem to be able to get over the hump? That's the other thing. Like, the offensive line is one thing. Like, people have a very, very big view of this Colts offensive line. I still think they got a lot to prove this year. They were very disappointing last year compared to expectations in the passing game, and they had injuries that they had to deal with and all these things. But the offensive line, I think, was not as strong last year as the Colts hoped it would be. I think they've got the tools to be good, but that's still a question. Like, they're going to have to bounce back this year. By the end of that season last year, the offensive line for the Colts trying to protect Carson Wentz was not good.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, the difference with Wentz and these other two guys, the guys that are sandwiching him, Rivers and Ryan, is that they're statues.
Yeah.
And at least Wentz, sometimes he got him in trouble, but also he made a lot of plays last year because he was able to escape that pressure. What about the QB who can't?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'll say this. It's going to be a complete shock to people when our guy Davis Mills leads the Texans on a run to the AFC South.
You finally got us to the real issue here. I'm glad you finally brought that up. I think we're going to have to talk about the Texans tomorrow, but not today.
You know how hard it is to overlook Davis Mills, yet people are doing it left and right.
Got their heads in the clouds, man. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with these people.
They really do. Speaking of the AFC South, coming up next, we'll be joined by Michael DiRocco from ESPN. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get caught up with the Jags and how camp is going down there for Trevor Lawrence heading into year two. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.